This passage is very strong, and there's a tone in here that's very much a tone of inspection. Like, you need to check your heart, you need to check and make sure that you're humbled yourself before the Lord. And there's also another tone in this passage that is just beautiful, that God will take whatever mess you've been through and he'll make you whiter than snow. And so some of you may need to hear option one today, and some of you maybe need to hear option two, but you need to listen to the Lord this morning. Please, if you have any questions when we get done, you're like, I don't really like how you said that, or that seemed really rough. Let's talk together, okay? Let's talk it through. But I want to do the justice to the word of God the best I can and deliver it as clearly as I can. Look together. We're going to start there in verse 16 and 16 through 18 of Isaiah chapter 1. This is from King James. Isaiah writes and he says, "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, and though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." You guys bear with me. I'm going to go quick, so pay attention, and hopefully we can listen quick, and I'll try to speak quick, but I have a lot I think the Lord wants us to consider today. I want to start with a quote that I think is going to challenge you, and then hopefully it will make sense when we get to the end of the message. And this is from Dan B. Allender and Trimper Longman. "Jesus relentlessly undermines all that is not God to make room for the God who has redeemed our hearts." Jesus undermines all that is not God. Today, Ray did a good job. We were looking at the law, the purpose of the law, right? And I want to kind of challenge your thinking again a little bit today. How many of you are keeping the law? How many of you are keeping the Ten Commandments? How many of you are walking by faith? It's like, I see little hands like, I don't want the wrong answer, but I'm going to do this or that, right? Yeah, it can be easy for us to get in patterns and rituals and traditions, and they all have value, but apart from the Holy Spirit and the work of God through faith, they will be empty. And that's where we want to head today. Jesus is breaking those things down that we would have room to be filled with the Holy Spirit in our life. The Lord Jesus would have it all, and he will undermine all you think you have to make room for the Father who wants you redeemed. First thing I want you to think about this morning is down in verse 2, or up in verse 2, Isaiah chapter 1, up in verse 2, we're going to see forgotten God. And look what Isaiah says to his people. Verse 2, "Hear me, you heavens, listen, earth, for the Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its master, the donkey, its own manger, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand." Isaiah, he's going to live a long time ago, about 700 some years before Christ. And in his lifetime, he is going to see the Assyrians, who are probably the most ruthless and wicked warriors of the day, come and take over the northern kingdom of Israel and lead them away. Another prophet you're probably familiar with who worked in a similar time frame was Jonah. Remember the big fish in Jonah, right? And God had told Jonah to go to Nineveh to condemn their sin. Isaiah will let us know that God is actually using Assyria to bring judgment on his own people. And here, as Isaiah lays it out, he wants to say, hey, look here, I want you to know the Israelites are God's people. They are his chosen people, but the problem is they have not chosen him. He delivered them. So many ways did God deliver them from Egypt and into the promised land, but they have forgotten him. They should recognize their master's voice, but instead they have rebelled. And here's what I want to start with this morning. Have you forgotten God? Oh, well, I'm here at church today, preacher. How can you say that? And what you're going to see in this passage is a whole people who were following the traditions. They were in the routines. They were in the patterns, but they didn't know their master's voice. They were not obeying the Lord himself, and they had forgotten him. couple questions that may help us get into this way of thinking. When you encounter a trauma or sickness or even stress, do you turn to your master first? When you encounter a roadblock, are you immediately defeated, or do you seek the will of the one who made you and who has given you purpose? I heard someone this week, it was really good. Someone that I thought had great faith had kind of backed away from a problem, and this other person said, well, have you prayed about it? I thought that was kind of interesting. Here's this person stepping up to someone who I think is a person of great faith and challenging them. Have you prayed about it? And it was kind of like, well, we did this, and well, we did that, and well, we... But he didn't say, yes, we have prayed about it. Have you forgotten God when the roadblock comes, when the stress comes? Do you remember what it is to be changed? Are you still praying and going that others may know him, or have you forgotten? Oh, how the Lord would have us never forget him. Hear me this morning. Not just because he deserves to be acknowledged and remembered, but also because his desire is for us. He loves us, and he wants to be redeemed. Have you forgotten God? Look down in verse 10. I want you to see the problem, and Isaiah will condemn these people so clearly. And this is where I think we need to be challenged today. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the instructions of our God, you people of Gomorrah, the multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams, and of the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons and Sabbaths and convocations. I cannot bear your worthless assemblies. Your new moon feasts and your appointed festivals, I hate with all my being. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I am not listening. Your hands are full of blood. Yeah, wow. The people have declared, oh, no, we haven't forgotten you, God. We haven't forgotten you at all. Look what we're doing. Let me bring a list up here for you to see all the things that they are doing. They are sacrificing regularly. Anybody bring your bull or goat today, your pigeons? Even a grain offering? I bet I didn't even see a grain offering today. Maybe a few donuts out there, right? Have you offered what was required? Well, yeah, I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to be here and do this and give this. They celebrated all the special feasts and the holidays. Well, God, yeah, we haven't forgotten you. We still have our special new moon. We have our Sabbath. Have you forgotten? Well, no, God, we assemble together. Look at us come together. You know that we have not forgotten you. And they've even spread out their hands in prayer. We pray to you, God. How could you say that we've forgotten you? And here's what I want to hit you at. Look at what the Lord says. Whoever said, wow, thank you so much. Notice how God describes them through Isaiah. Look at what he says. What are your sacrifices to me? I don't care that you bring an offering. I have no pleasure in the blood of these animals. Your incense that you burn is detestable. Your assemblies are worthless. And then this phrase is so strong. I hate you with all, or I hate this with all of my being, your appointed festivals. What? Did you catch that? Have you ever told someone that you hate something with all your being? That's the Lord speaking through Isaiah. And so he says, I hide my eyes from you, and I do not listen to your prayers. This is one of the clearest passages against empty religion in all of the scriptures. God not only did not care, but he hated with all his being the hypocrisy of empty religion. Why are you here today? Check. Well, that's what I do on Sundays. I made a deal with God, I would show up. Well, if my wife is so annoying and she makes me come. Right? My mom and dad, they just really pressured it on me. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. Well, this way I can tell God, hey, you have to let me into heaven because I showed up, right? I did what I was supposed to do. You guys realize there's a whole world of people out there that are following empty religion. Some of it is in church houses, but a lot of it isn't anything to do with church houses. They're just finding ways to check out boxes to make themselves feel good, hopefully that they will be at some point ready to meet the Lord. And I hope what you see here so clearly today is God says, I hate empty religion. If you're here today just out of habit, just because you think it's making you holy by checking off a box, you're in the exact same boat that the people that Isaiah was condemning. God hated hypocrisy, the hypocrisy of empty religion, and he still hates it today. I want you to bear with me here. This is supposed to sting. I hope you'll hear it correctly. If we were to update, or if I was to update the language today, I think it may sound something like this. I don't care about your money, your tithing and your offerings. What are they to me? I take no pleasure in how much money you give or raise. Stop bringing it. Christmas and Easter and revival meetings, I cannot bear these special days. I hate them with all my being, and they have become a burden. When you pray, I don't listen because your hands are full of blood. How does that hit you? I hope it did. I hope you're like, did the preacher just really say that he hates Christmas and he hates Easter? I didn't say that. God did. Now, God didn't say Christmas and Easter. He said all those special holy days. What are Christmas and Easter? Now you're hearing it, aren't you, right? What? You mean our traditions? You mean our services? You mean our prayer times? You mean our offerings? Surely, I mean, the preacher talks about tithing, and now here he's saying he hates it. Stop doing it. What's going on here? God says, I can't stand this when your heart is not humbled and submitted to me in obedience that you would do these things. They don't mean anything to me. As a matter of fact, stop it. Whoa. God would rather you stop doing the empty religious things if you're not going to humble yourself in obedience. Because all you're doing is making him completely angry when you will not humble yourself before him, and yet you still want to check all the boxes. Now, is everybody tracking with that? Would God say he hates our sacred holidays? But I think the point is just that. When we forget God and we choose ourselves, and when we let injustice reign in our community, what is the point of the religious practice? When Christmas and Easter are just traditions, and when they become an end to themselves instead of an opportunity to humble ourselves before a holy God to worship and adore him, they are useless. We need to be changed. We need a transformation. I couldn't say it any better. Ray said this morning in Sunday school. That's the whole purpose of the law. Your friends that they're talking to that are trying to do everything in their power to be better people, more moral people, more kind, more good, more loving, but are not humbling themselves before the Lord, they need transformation. And we can't do that on ourselves. We need the Lord to invade. I just pray for you and me today that our religion would not be empty. That when we come to sing and to pray, well, your prayers were so beautiful this morning. When we do those things, that they come from a heart of humility, not of a box that we're checking off to say, oh, we did our duty. Well, let's look at the path to transformation. Down in verse 16, if you're following along, look what Isaiah says. It cannot be any clearer. He says, wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. We need to be clean. Amen. You like being clean? You're going to think this is silly. This is probably way too much information for you or transparent. But when the preacher goes on a long camping trip, a long fishing trip, a lot of times I don't take a shower for a day or two because there's not places to do that sometimes. And what is my favorite thing when I get home? My wife's favorite thing probably too. Smell better. It's to be clean. Don't you like to be clean? That's what Isaiah is encouraging the people. You need to wash. You're filthy. Oh, you think you're fine because you're offering sacrifices and you're coming to the assemblies and you're celebrating the special days, but your heart is so far from God. You need to wash and be clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. And I love that this is so clear. Stop doing wrong, learn to do right. Is it really that simple? Stop doing wrong, learn to do right. What are we concerning ourselves with? Again, can you bear with the preacher a little bit here this morning? This is tricky, okay? I love the fact that you guys are trying to take care of this facility, and I am too, right? It's been nice today to have some fans, praise the Lord, right? So I've seen you've been doing it. It's been really, thank the Lord for the gift of the fans, all right? That's been awesome. We are looking at doing a new sign. We've had to do a parking lot. We've had to do a new roof, right? We've had to clean up and maintain some of our rooms. But in all these things here, are we humbling ourselves before the Lord? I hope that you are. But if we do all of this and we have a pristine lawn and beautiful trees and an incredible projection system and sound system that actually works, and we have the finest of the things, but we don't have a heart that's humble before a holy God, he hates it. He hates it. Now, does God want us to vacuum the carpet? Sure, and take care of the gifts that he's given? Praise the Lord. Does he want us to have a sign so people know what it's about? Yes. But it needs to flow out of a heart that is humble before him. Not just because we are an organization who's trying to set up an enterprise to perpetuate who we are. Everybody tracking with that? Please hear the Lord today. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. And then notice the phrases he uses. Seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the case of the orphan, the fatherless, and plead for the widow. Let me give you three areas here to think about as it relates to those things right there. On a community level, all right, on the south side here, we need to be looking out for the poor and the hurting and the oppressed. And again, hear me out. Again, I'm challenging you. I want you to be thinking this morning. God could care so much less about whether or not the Ten Commandments are posted on a wall as much as he cares if they are lived out by his people. You hear me? Are we living it? We say we love God, but are we loving our neighbor? Who are the oppressed among us? What about the unborn? What about the refugee? What about the poor? What about the homeless? On a community level, the Lord says, seek justice. And I'm afraid sometimes I'm just seeking how to maintain a facility. And we have to do those things. Hear me out. But we can't let ourselves get so wrapped up in that that we're missing the big picture. All right? How about on a church level? If we as the church would be the shining light we need to be, then the world would see what God has for them. But we can get so wrapped up in the same things that Israel is wrapped up in, the traditions, the spiritual holidays, the offerings, the patterns of public prayer. Is giving an offering bad? Is selling a holiday bad? Is assembling together wrong? Is prayer the wrong thing? No, but all these things, when devoid of a humble heart that is dependent upon Christ, are simply hypocrisy, and we are no better than the Pharisees. On a church level, we have to humble ourselves. And then here we go. On an individual level, you can humble yourself. You can acknowledge God in your everyday living. You can stand up for the poor and the oppressed. You can show mercy when you are given the opportunity. And hear me out, then your offerings will be fragrant before a holy God. Your gifts will be a blessing to him. Your prayers will be beautiful sounds to his ears, but only if we live a life dependent upon the Savior. Oh man, the offerings. When you're being obedient to God and you're honoring him in your day-to-day living, he says, oh, that's beautiful. You're singing when you come to worship and you have sought the Lord in the morning, you've surrendered your heart to him that day and you're giving up praise to him. That's beautiful. Christmas and Easter, when they're all about our Savior and it's about a people who have been repented and who have been forgiven and are seeking him. Incredible, right? But oh, when they're devoid of a humble heart, God says he hates them. That's what he declares to his people. What we need is repentance. Everybody get repentance? Do you understand it? I'm not saying that you're sorry you got caught. You ever been sorry you got caught? Right? You got your hand in the cabinet and trying to sneak out the food so Gramps doesn't see that I'm eating some of his stuff that he got at the store. He catches me. Oh, man. Do I repent? No. Do I feel bad? Yes. Because if I were to repent, what would happen? I would not do it anymore. I would forsake that, right? Some of us in our spiritual life do the same thing. We feel sorry when God catches us. We're like, oh, wish he hadn't caught me there. Now I feel bad about that. But repentance is I'm going to turn away from that because I'm going to pursue a holy God. Because I don't want to be a hypocrite. I want to be completely surrendered. Now here's the greatest news this morning. You can be the biggest hypocrite. You can be, we skipped over this earlier, but you can be a ruler of Sodom and a citizen of Gomorrah. Everybody knows Sodom and Gomorrah, right? The most wicked cities on the planet. God burned them down with fire. And here Isaiah calls his leaders the rulers of Sodom and the people of Gomorrah. But if we will repent, God says, I can make you clean. You don't get it. There ain't no way you'd stay sitting down if you understood it. Right? You could have been the greatest hypocrite of all. You could have had all of the patterns and all the rituals and all the holy days, and God convicted your heart. And if you repent of those things, God says, I will make you clean. I will wash you. I will transform you. I will make you holy. C.S. Lewis puts it this way. Christ says, give me all. I don't want so much of your time and so much of your money and so much of your work. I want you. I have not come to torment your natural self, but to kill it. Did you catch that? No half measures are any good. I don't want to cut off a branch here and a branch there. I want to have the whole tree down. I don't want to drill the tooth or crown it or stop it, but to have it out. Hand over the whole natural self, all the desires which you think are innocent as well as the ones you think are wicked, the whole outfit, and I will give you a new self instead. In fact, I will give you myself, and my own will shall become yours. Praise the Lord. God wants it all of you. He don't want 10%. He wants all of it. And so here we're left with this just unbelievably incredible verse. If you don't have it highlighted and you like to do that kind of thing or underline, look at verse 18. Come now, let us settle the matter, NIV says. Reason together, King James says. Come now, let us settle matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be what? White as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. Real quick, what did he say? He said, come now. Don't wait. Please don't wait. If God is talking to your heart today about some sin in your life, take care of it today. You don't have to wait for the end of the sermon. If there's something in your heart and you're like, oh God, this is not right. Please forgive me. Let's take care of that right now. Repent of it right now. Come now. Don't wait. Let us reason. Let us settle. This can be made right. It is not too late. It is truly a reasonable thing from our perspective, right? I'm going to trade my sin and my filth for the righteousness of Christ. From God's perspective, I don't see how that's reasonable, but from ours, I'll take that deal every day. And Christian, can you hear me today? This is not the one-time thing. This is an everyday thing that we need the Lord to come and change us and remake us and relift us up, all right? It is not a one-time thing. Though your sins are like scarlet. And so, I didn't even know how to say this so that you'll understand, but here's such an amazing truth. God doesn't care what evil you've done. If you will repent, he will take the most difficult staining sin and cleanse you. Your preacher looked up some stains. What are the three top stains? Anybody know? What's the first one? You can see it. Tomato sauce. It is hard to get out tomato sauce, isn't it, right? Blood is really hard when you're a kid and you skin up your knees and everything, right? And then red wine. I don't have much experience with that, but I guess it's really difficult. What do you notice about all three of those things? What color are they? The worst stains, the top three stains, they're all scarlet. But what's the Lord say? I'll take the worst stains and I'll make them like what? Have you, any of you, I know Rick has because he's been with me. Have you ever been out on the lake when it's frozen? It's a bluebird. We call it a bluebird sky. Like there's not a cloud in the air and it's just completely blue and the sun is shining. That snow is so white. It's almost light. It's so white. It's so bright and so clean. God says, I'll take the worst stain that's ever been, the scarlet one, and I'll make it as pure as that driven snow. That's what the Lord does. That's what Jesus does with his sacrifice for us. I don't care what your mess is. Isn't that good news? Today, some of you are still dwelling in your mess. Some of you are believers. You've asked forgiveness. You've been saved. And yet the devil comes and he haunts you with, oh, you did this, and oh, you did that, and oh, you did that. And God says, come to me. I'll take the stain. We'll wash it away. I'll make you white as snow. I'm trying not to scare you too bad, you guys, but that is good stuff, isn't it? That's what we need to share with the people that we love. Again, it's no wonder the Lord uses the idea of sins being like scarlet. He says, think of the worst stain you can think of, and it will be made white. Not just white, but white as snow. God says if we will humble ourselves and accept the gift of his son, he'll take the most terrible stain and remove it so we are perfectly clean. I don't know about you. That doesn't sound so reasonable at all on God's thing, but for me, it's the best deal going. God will take away my sin and forgive me and make me clean again if I will humble myself, repent of my sins, receive the gift of the cross. Hear this carefully. It's a little bit tricky, but follow the preacher here. I would say you cannot clean yourself. Isaiah does say here, go wash and clean yourself. But the transformation that even he is talking about comes through the work of God. God says, wash and make yourselves clean. In other words, repent. Jesus is the one who lived the perfect life. He died a substitutionary death. He rose again, demonstrating his power over sin, over death, over hell, and the grave. If we will humble ourselves enough to trust in his power and his satisfaction of the Father's demands for a perfect sacrifice, we will be whiter than snow. Red as crimson, Isaiah goes on to say. But now white as what? White as wool. That's the Lord. That's the God that we serve. He takes the mess and he makes it into something new. God desired that this stubborn, hypocritical, self-seeking people would be cleansed, and he desires the same from us if only we will humble ourselves before him, if only we will truly acknowledge him as the Lord or master or boss of our lives. And so then Isaiah finishes there in verse 19 and 20, and he relays the outcome to this obstinate people. Again, it's so clear. It's nothing tricky here. He says to the people, if you are willing, if you are obedient, you'll eat the good things of the land. Verse 20, but if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. The Bible says he will lift you up. Be humble, willing, and obedient. You'll eat the good things. But continue to resist and rebel. As we saw in verse 2, continue to seek yourself, to neglect the poor, to neglect the orphan, to neglect the widow. Guess what? You will be devoured by the sword. And what happened to this people? Did anybody know? Did they repent of their sins? And as a whole people, they elected, or not elected, but pronounced a holy good king, and they changed their whole direction? No, the Assyrians came in, and they drug them out by fishhooks. And they took them away to a land that was not their land, to a people that was not their people, to a food and a culture that was not their own, because they would not humble themselves. God said, I'm sick of your empty religion. I want a humble heart. And again, I'm not trying to say that America is Israel. Please hear me out today. That's not the same thing. But I would say this, as a nation, as a church, and as an individual, if you continue to resist and rebel, even if you're practicing some sort of habits and traditions, but your heart is not humble before the Lord, you will face the Lord. You'll face his justice. So my challenge to you this morning is to humble yourself and ask the Lord, where does he want you to be plugged in? I hope this is a sincere, simple gospel message today. And again, I remind you all Christians, that gospel messages are for you and not just for people who have not been saved previously. Last thing this morning is from Al Jansen. I thought this was pretty good. He says, the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel is one of the greatest artistic triumphs in human history. From 1508 to 1512, the artist Michelangelo lay on his back and he painted the Fall and the Flood. But Michelangelo's magnificent art started to fade almost immediately. Within a century of completing his work, no one remembered what the original frescoes had really looked like. Painter Biagio Biaghetti described it in 1936. We see the colors of the Sistine ceiling as if through smoked glass. But in 1981, a scaffold was erected to clean the frescoes that adorned the chapel. With a special solution, Fabrizio Mantinelli gently washed a small corner of the painting. They invited art experts to examine the work, and the result was stunning. No one had imagined that beneath centuries of grime lay such vibrant colors. This was not the Michelangelo known by art critics. That artist was the master of form, his paintings resembling sculpture more than painting. But this new artist was also the master of color, of azure and green and rose and lavender, of amazing nuance. Their success prompted the restoration of the entire ceiling, and the task was completed in 1989. It had taken twice as long to clean the ceiling as the artist had needed to paint it, but the result was breathtaking. For the first time in nearly 500 years, people viewed this masterpiece the way it was intended, in all of its color, in all of its beauty. In you today, and in me today, there's a masterpiece. But it's been covered up with years of grime and sin and self-seeking. And if we'll let the artist come in and use his solution, he will take that crimson stain and he will wash it away, that we'd be white as snow. Praise the Lord, right? God wants to reveal the masterpiece in you. But my questions are very simple this morning. First, again, start where we started this morning. Have you forgotten God? Again, I know many of your hearts here today, and I praise the Lord, you have not. Are you practicing an empty religion? If you're just here to go through the motions, God, he can't stand that. Humble your heart. Are you a hypocrite going through the motions and not humbling self before your Savior? Would you seek the Lord today? Would you acknowledge him today? And the way I think you've heard it over and over this morning is, would you humble yourself before him that he would make you whiter than stone? Let's stand this morning. Thank you guys so much for your attention today.